Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise God indeed. Hope everyone's doing well this evening. I tell you, anybody in the house blessed? Amen. Amen. Aren't we blessed? Let's just give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. I thank the Lord for always carrying me through and keeping me going through, and He is so great. We just want to glorify Him. Y'all would, we're going to stand and go to the Lord in prayer this evening as people are still coming in. Glad to see y'all. Come on in. Those of you watching online, welcome to First Pentecostal in Villa Rica. Glad to have you with us as we go to the Lord in prayer. Also, for those of you that are joining us online now or at a later date, we do watch our feeds. If you have a prayer request, please put it in the comments section. We'll definitely pray with you. And also, if you'll pray with us for all the prayer needs that we know that are going to be mentioned tonight and those unspoken also. Anyone on my right side have a spoken prayer request tonight? Yes, ma'am. Yes. Most definitely lift them up. Anyone else on my right side tonight have a spoken prayer request? All righty. Anyone on my left side tonight or in the congregation? I don't want to miss anybody. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Anyone else? Yes. I just heard the road was closed. Oh, really? Yes, a lot of situations. Miss Lori, go right ahead. That's exactly what was going to be my spoken time. No, thank you. I'll tell you, it's good when good minds think alike, isn't it? Praise God. But we just also want to mention, as they were saying up here, you probably couldn't hear them. Those of you online, there were some fatalities and an accident yesterday, and then also another horrific accident today, and the situations. And also, we want to lift up the children. I know some have started this week. I think a few started last week, but I know our grandkids, their group starts Friday the 5th, Carroll County. And I know the teachers and all are back in full swing. So we got all these different counties and everything recommended, but it's represented. But as we think about our children and think about the life that they're living and they actually have such a different viewpoint than what we do. And I'm so grateful for our Sunday school teachers, our children's church ministry, those that teach Wednesday night Bible study, all the other things that we're doing for our children. And that's just a small part of their life. They're 24/7. And we just want to continue to pray for them that they'll be led and that God will intervene and just His Holy Spirit will be over each and every child. I'm sure there'll be a special prayer, whether we do it Sunday or whatever we normally do at the beginning of a school year and get all the kids together. I'm sure they're doing it already in the children's church. But we just want to pray for each and every one. And our teenagers, too. That's such a big level of young minds that are being molded, and may they know the Word of God. May we be those vessels that the Lord can use His light to shine through, that will be an example for them. If you have an unspoken prayer request, just show by raising your hand. Most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to praise You. Lord, we thank You for this beautiful day You've given us and for this opportunity You've given us to gather in Your house and in Your mighty name. Dear Lord, the comfort that we feel when we walk in, dear Lord, this sanctuary, dear Lord, it's been blessed and given to You, dear Lord. We know that Your Spirit is here, dear Lord. We know that You're with us everywhere that we go. But as we gather together tonight in each and every service, whether it be here, out with the young people in their class, with the teens in their group, Lord, we just want to lift each and every soul that's involved here right now to You. Lord, we want to dedicate them to You. Dear Lord, as this new school year starts, dear Lord, we want to lift You up and honor You. But dear Lord, we ask for You to put Your hand of protection, Lord, Your armament on our children, our grandchildren, dear Lord, our neighbors' children, dear Lord, all the young, dear Lord, that they will be led in the direction that would be to follow You. Lord, may Your word go forth, dear Lord. May us as adults and parents and the peers that we have that will be walking in front of these children, Lord, may they see you through us. And, dear Lord, may we be that example that you would use us, dear Lord. Now, dear Lord, we're lifting up those families who lost a loved one, those that are battling this COVID again, dear Lord, those families that are sick and shut in, dear Lord, we ask you to touch each and every one. Lord, I thank you for healing, dear Lord. I thank you for your guidance and your love for each and every one of us, dear Lord. We praise your holy name. Lord, we're turning this service over. And we should always, as we walk through these doors, dear Lord, turn our hearts and minds on you. Lord, please accept our hands of praise, dear Lord, the instruments that are played, the songs that are sung, dear Lord, to glorify and edify you. It's about you and you alone. Lord, we ask you to bless our pastor and his family. Lord, continue to heal us. Dear Lord, we're claiming victory in your precious name, in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Praise God, praise God. While we're together, and I just felt this tonight, and it really fits in with some of the prayer requests, but Amazing Grace is what we're going to sing tonight, page 57. And I just love the Lord. We just want to thank him for that love for us, because he loved me even though he knew me. Praise God. Amazing Grace, how sweet. Sit down if you could still sing with us. I want to do a chorus or the verse of Elwood Forest. Tune it up. And I just want to continue this spirit of worship, this spirit of humbleness, just to let the stuff go that's been affecting you today, this week, maybe what's coming up tomorrow, next week. Put it in God's hands, because we're going to glorify him now. Y'all just sing with us. We want to worship him, Jesus. Turn around and tell somebody how much Jesus loves them. He does love you. Amen. Amen. I was watching something. I've had a little too much quiet time with this procedure I've had done on my leg, knee. And saw something, and it was just, this man was just singing to this baby. And it was, Jesus loves me. And it's been on my heart how much that words and those words were precious. It's more than a song, more than a title. More than a bumper sticker, more than, you know, those little things that go around. But that's what He really does. And He loves us. And I think that word needs to get out, because God is love. And everything that comes is through Him. And that love is so precious. Praise the Lord. We're going to go ahead and take up our evening offering. I'm a little behind. I don't have any announcements up here this evening. Nothing? No? No? Morning? Oh, yes. Sunday night. Absolutely. Go ahead and mark your calendar. For those watching online, make plans to come join us August the 14th, that Sunday night. We will be having revival with Brother Morrow, and it'll be a wonderful time. It's an absolute marvelous man of God as He brings forth the Word, and just an opportunity. I think as this new seasons change, we're talking about school starting back. We're talking about, we don't want to go through the doldrums of life without worshiping the Lord. And we all need to be stoked and just rejuvenated and be in much prayer for that night and as we go through in our services as we go through, and that we'll be just doing, having a wonderful service. Brother Bitsy, would you ask the Lord to bless our evening offering, please? Yes, Lord. Amen. Thank you. special singers. If y'all don't mind, I'm going to get back down there out of the way. But Brent, if you'd come first, and Miss Susan, and Miss Jennifer tonight too.
Praise the Lord.
Bridges left behind me, Lord, I'm burning. one thing. I remember Eddie talking about Aunt Kate praising the Lord for healing Dennis's arm. And Brandon has been prayed for a number of times about his back. I've stood in for him. And he's just seems like he's not getting any relief. But, you know, I'm going, instead of begging and going back and saying, Lord, please do this, I'm going to praise him. I'm going to praise him right now for Brandon's healing. Yes, and I'm believing. Jesus. I know when you're sick yourself, it's hard to believe for yourself. And he's just been in so much pain, it's hard for him, you know. But I'm just standing on faith for my child. And I just want to praise the Lord right now. If I have to do it, you know, for from now on until he's healed, I just want to praise him for his goodness to my family. And I believe he's going to heal Brandon's back.
Praise the Lord. Amen. E flat. She just, her testimony just changed my mind. Praise his name. Y'all worship as we sing. When you're up against a wall and your mountain seems so tall and you realize life's not always fair, you can run away and hide. Let the old man decide. You can change your circumstances with a prayer. When everything falls apart, praise his name. When you have a broken heart, raise your hands and say, Lord, you're all I need. You're everything to me, and you'll take the pain away. When it seems you're all alone, praise his name. When you feel you can't go on, raise your hands and say, greater is he that is within me. And you can praise the hurt away. Just praise his name. Oh, then you can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. You'll see the darkness go as your faith begins to grow. You're not alone, so how can you be lonely? When everything falls apart, praise his name. When you have a broken heart, raise your hands and say, Lord, you're all I need. You're everything to me, and he'll take the pain away. When it seems you're all alone, praise his name. When you feel you can't go on, raise your hands and say, greater is he that is within me. And you can praise the hurt away. Greater is he that is within me. And you can praise the hurt away. If you'll just praise his name.
Hallelujah. so very true. Amen. Powerful message. Amen. Oh, that we would learn to do that. Just praise the hurt away. Groaning don't help. Mumbling, quarreling, pointing fingers of accusation, that doesn't help either. We'll just praise the hurt away. You know, that's not only physical pain, but that's emotional and spiritual pain as well. I think we need to learn to praise the Lord more, don't you? Amen. How many would confess that there was a change made in your life when Jesus came in?
Hallelujah.
Not just a little change, but a great big change. Amen. Do you remember the day? Elf. Well, I've been to the river. I've been baptized. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And I thank Him for giving the rain. I stand above. He will wipe all the tears from my eyes. And I thank Him for giving a rich life me last from hope beyond the skies. Well, I've been changed. I've been new for now. All my life has been erased. Well, what a difference it makes. It's better than Monday night, ain't it? They call it hump day. When I was working or going to school, Wednesday was half the week, amen? And they said you climbed up and then you kind of sailed over the hill. I don't know, every day was kind of climbing for me. But I'm glad to have the desire, I'm glad to have the opportunity together with saints of God in worship and glorify and praise the Lord. As we were talking Sunday at homecoming, I made the mention that we're practicing for heaven, because that's what we're going to do. We're going to worship and praise the Lord forever and ever and ever. No time limits there. Nobody will get tired. Nobody will get hoarse. We'll just sing praises unto the Lord forever and ever. And the bodies that we have are going to be glorified, so they're not going to feel the ill effects of being tired or worn out or anything. I tell you what. That makes me excited, amen, to get one of those bodies, amen, that'll just be able to worship and glorify and praise the Lord forever. If you have your Bibles tonight, let's go to the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostle. In the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, the Lord was dealing with me this week about a change, amen, and a glorious change it has been. And if I had a message title tonight, it would simply be this: I'm not the man I used to be. Thank God. I said, thank God, I am not the man. I am not the person. I'm not the the human being that I once was. I may look the same, I may live at the same address, but there has been a transformation, and all honor and glory goes to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, chapter number 9, beginning with verse number 10, we're going to kind of start in the middle of the story, but we're going to go back and pick up so that everybody will kind of know where we are. But in the 10th verse of the 9th chapter, "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized." Can we pray? Heavenly Father, again, we're just so thankful, God, for your presence, this opportunity that you've given us to gather together. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. I thank you, God, that you are a God that answers prayers. Father, I pray tonight that you would anoint this vessel, anoint these lips of clay. God, speak to us that you would have us to hear. Help us to be submissive and obedient to your will and to your word. And Father, we do remember all those who are in need of prayer tonight. Many are sick, many are afflicted, many are lost and undone. Father, we pray, God, that you would not only heal and restore, God, I pray that you'd have mercy on the lost souls tonight. God, and bring them to an altar of confession, Lord, and fill them with your glorious spirit. Father, we'll give you all praise, all honor and glory. We ask these blessings in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you love Jesus, give him a great old big hand clap of praise. Amen. Well, you know what? I think that's the first thing the Pentecostals are going to do when they get to heaven. They're just going to give the Lord praise. Amen. We like to clap our hands in the Pentecostal church, don't we? I'm glad to be able to clap my hands for the Lord. Amen. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might unto the Lord. And I believe whatever you do, if you do it unto the Lord, it will be blessed. As I mentioned a while ago, message title or theme or topic or whatever you want to refer to it tonight is, I'm thankful that I'm not the man that I used to be. If ever there was a better example of grace in the Bible, I'm not sure that it overrides this particular example, which exemplifies the grace of Almighty God. Now, I know each and every one of us has a personal testimony about the grace of God. I would ask you to probably agree with me tonight. There would not be one of us here tonight if it wasn't for the grace of God. We would certainly not be able to have the Spirit of the Lord within us and have salvation in our life had it not been for the Lord and His amazing grace. Because we were born into a sinful world, a sinful nature. But here we find a man who was anti-Christian. Not only was he just not a Christian, he was anti-Christian. He was anti the work that was given to the apostles or the disciples, which was the mission that Jesus gave to them. Go out into the uttermost parts of Judea and spread the word of the gospel and you know, save folks and tell them about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, Saul was doing all that he could to root this work out. And, you know, he even had or was consenting to the death or the stoning of Stephen, which, in fact, my opinion, was basically a witness to murder. If you read how that Stephen was stoned just for serving the Lord and being one that was spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And not only did that happen, but then he goes and he gets
these letters that would give him the authority to go into Jerusalem and bind all of those who went by the name of Christians or born-again Christians and bring them back bound and bring them before the magistrates and maybe have some of them in prison or some of them bound. But how many knows that the Lord sometimes has different arrangements for our lives than what we're planning to do? So the story was that as he was on his road, or the road to Damascus, rather, the Lord intervened. I don't know if there's anybody here tonight that had the Lord intervene in your situation and change your direction around. Amen. I myself did. I wasn't traveling the road of salvation. I was just kind of following along, but the Lord had other plans, and I thank God that he did. But Paul was going to, or Saul at this time, was going to Damascus in preparation to find as many saints that he could and to bind them and bring them back. But on the way, you know the story, the Lord struck him down. Let me tell you now, when the Lord convicts your soul, when the Lord puts pressure on you, I will assure you, he will get your attention. We've heard of many stories. There are many examples, many testimonies. I've heard testimonies of how people had no intention of serving God. I've heard that people said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'll do it in my time or whatever. But the convicting power of God took hold of their life and changed that direction. He changed their mind and he changed that situation and caused them to turn from their sinful ways or their evil ways or even their complacent ways and find Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So here is Saul on his way to Damascus, and the Lord strikes him down, and you know, he's blinded and has to be led there, and then the Lord begins to speak to Ananias, where we picked up just a while ago. And Ananias, first of all, is a little bit apprehensive about going to Saul, and he reminds the Lord. How many of us have reminded the Lord of things when he asks us to do something? Well, now, Lord, you know I'm not qualified to do that. Lord, you know I can't speak well. You know, Lord, that I'm not a singer. You know, Lord, that I can't teach. Probably many of us have offered up excuse after excuse, but I found out that God doesn't make mistakes when he calls somebody. I don't think he's ever said, oh, I'm sorry. I thought I was talking to somebody else. I don't think God operates like that. He knows, and the reason I know that, because he says here, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Now, in my way of thinking, Saul did not have any intentions or plans whatsoever of being an apostle or an ambassador for Christ. In fact, he was actually out acting, that's hard to say, he was working in the opposite direction. He was doing everything he could against the work of God, and then had no thoughts or desires whatsoever or intentions of serving the Lord. But again, God has a way of changing our heart and changing our mind. So he was a chosen vessel, and God knew he was able to do through that vessel of the apostle who would later be an apostle. And we find that Saul, who was later called Paul. And I found out something very interesting. Maybe you already knew it. I didn't, and I was wondering why they changed his name. Now, I just sung the song, I've been changed. I've been changed from that old creature that once I was, and redeemed is now my name. You know, it doesn't matter if you never remember my name. It doesn't matter if you never remember anything about me. It just remembers that I've been redeemed. Amen. When they lay me in that casket, it doesn't matter if they put a headstone up there that says Eddie Allen or Charles Eddie Allen Jr. or whatever it is. I just want to be known as redeemed, because my redemption from the Lord Jesus Christ and from his precious shed blood is what's going to get me into heaven. Not the name on the tombstone, or not what I've been able to accomplish, or not what I've done in this earth, except that I've given my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and redeemed is now my name. And I'm thankful for that. But I was behooved and kind of interesting in the why that they changed his name from Saul to Paul. And I find out that Jesus wasn't the one who changed his name. How many times, you know, we think, and I did, I thought, well, you know, the conversion of Paul, then probably he would not want to be known as Saul anymore, because that struck fear in the Jewish people, and especially those who were converted to Christ. And I, in my way of thinking, that's probably the reason they quit calling him that, because he changed his name. But I found out that Paul was his name all along. And in fact, in Acts 13 and chapter, or 13, chapter, verse 9, it says, Saul, who was also called Paul. Now, I don't know what his daddy was thinking when he called him Saul Paul. But evidently, his name was might have been in Roman and Hebrew or something, but he was called Saul and Paul. But he was then, from that time on, the apostles also referred to him as Paul. And it may have had something to do with his past. I know that he was not the same person that he was. Probably looked the same, probably lived in the same address. He had the same occupation. By the way, does anybody know what Saul was before he became an apostle? Remember your Sunday school days? He was a tent maker. That's exactly right. He was a maker of tents, and he probably continued to do some of that, probably had that ability. Kind of make ends meet because he became an evangelist, and, you know, he kind of went around starting churches and helping folks, and many, many times they saw to his needs, but probably sometimes he referred back to his occupation. You know how many, God always makes a way, doesn't he? He always makes a way, and he gave him that ability, so he probably at many times he made a way for them. But the thing that I want us to understand, and now let's go to a book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Somebody ought to say, praise the Lord. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now I want to give you just a little bit of my testimony. I had sought the Lord for a number of years. I would go down to the altar and I wanted to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I had been taught, you know, you need the Holy Ghost. That gives you power. And I wanted the Holy Ghost. And I'd go down and I'd pray and I'd beg, beg. And, you know, as Susan was talking about that, it brought back my remembrance. And, you know, rather than begging, let's just start believing. And my granddaddy had a great effect and a great thing when he was telling me. He said, you just need to believe for the Holy Ghost. Quit begging for it, because begging ain't going to do you any good, because you don't earn it. You don't deserve it. Amen. But the Lord wants to give it to you, and he comes by praise, and you'll just glorify him and believe him. And first thing you know, the Spirit of the Lord came into my life. But what he used as an example, he pulled out a dollar bill, and he said, I want to give you this dollar bill. And he said, what are you going to do? And I said, I'm going to take it. He said, that's right. You're not going to beg me for it. You're not going to beg me, because it's a promise to you. I'm giving it to you because I want you to have it. And all you got to do is reach out and believe it and take it, and don't stand there and beg and beg and beg. And I've carried that to the altar. And I said, Lord, you know, I'm just going to believe for it. And you know, that works with healing. That works with a deeper walk with the Lord, or whatever the case may be. We don't have to beg for a promise that's already given to us. We just have to receive it, and we have to glorify and praise the Lord. So I started thanking him. I started praising him. And if you'll start praising him and thanking him for what, you know, you haven't seen the effects of yet, God is true to his word, and it'll come to pass. I believe with all of my heart. May not be in your time, may not be when we want it, but it'll be in God's time. Amen. If we glorify and praise him and thank him. So thank God that I'm not the man that I used to be. Now, there was a great change, a big transformation from Saul's early life to what Paul was later. He was instrumental in writing the epistles. God saw something in him that he could use. God sees something in each and every one of us that God can use. We may not always see that. We may not always understand that. But if we'll be submissive and obedient unto the Lord, and hopefully God won't have to strike us down on the road to Damascus to get our attention. But having said that, and I alluded to this earlier, I have known of people who give a personal testimony that God had to get them down, whether it was through sickness or affliction or depression or problems or issues, finally got their attention. And when they got their attention, they quit running from the Lord. They quit fighting against the Lord. And they begin to obey the Lord and receive the Spirit of the Lord into their life, be born again, and begin to praise the Lord. And there was a great transformation in their life. What happened? Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. So I remember when I received the Spirit of the Lord, first thing I wanted to do was call all of my relatives. I wanted to call them that night. It was a Sunday night service, and I wanted to call everybody that night, even the ones that didn't go to church. I wanted to call them and let them know about the transformation that had happened in my life. It was so exciting. It was so new. It was so great. I slept good that night, probably as good as I've ever slept in my life. And I was just so thankful because I wasn't what I used to be. And, you know, and I was in church, and I was carried to church. But you know what? When that transformation comes to you, when you really, really open up your heart's door, you know, it's been said time and time again, your name can be on a church roll book sometime, but that doesn't save you. You can be a part of the choir, but that doesn't save you. Amen. You must open up your heart's door. You must have a confession to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you must accept Him by faith and believe that His precious shed blood, amen, was shed for our redemption and for our spirit-filled walking and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So old things are passed away, and that's exactly what happened to Saul. And he began to minister, he began to preach, he began to start churches, and a great man of faith, and all because that God got his attention. And God can get our attention tonight. He can use us in ways that you and I will never understand or never be able to even comprehend. God is such a great and mighty God. He's a way maker, amen. He's a healer. He's certainly our Redeemer, and He is our salvation. And I thought it was remarkable how that the Lord was able to transform the life of Saul into a great apostle. And I was thinking about that this week because I have actually had people to tell me, Brother Eddie, you know, the Lord is just never going to save me because of my past. And you know, when I hear that, you just don't understand. You really don't understand. That's the reason Jesus Christ came and died on the cross of Calvary, for people's past. Whether or not Saul was, and where he was fighting against the Lord. He was fighting against the Lord's word. But you know what? The same thing would apply to somebody who was just a good person, who was a good father, good mother, who was a good moral person, but had never invited Jesus Christ into their life. There was not a change made. The Bible says you must be born again. You must ask Jesus Christ to save. You must have Him to come in and take up His abode, both as Lord and Savior. So it doesn't matter. So I try to tell people, no, it doesn't matter. You know, that's the reason Jesus Christ died on the cross, because you don't have to be the person that you once was. And so I've been told many, many times, the only thing, you know, the Lord doesn't remember. When He forgives us, He washes those sins away and puts them out of His remembrance. But we still remember. And that's probably the biggest obstacle that we have, is trying to live a life for Christ, knowing our past. But we got to understand that our past is under the blood of Jesus Christ. How many is thankful for the transformation? How many is thankful for the redeeming power? How many is thankful for the immaculate love and the amazing grace that Jesus Christ gave for each and every one of us? We ought to be thankful. We ought to praise Him, and we ought to glorify Him each and every day. Not just in church, certainly in church, but every day of our life. Amazing grace is exactly right. I once was lost, now I'm found. And all you got to do is read the epistles and read 1st and 2nd Corinthians and Ephesians and Galatians and Colossians and see what a mighty work that the Lord was able to do through Paul's anointed preaching. But what if he hadn't given his life? What if he had said refused? I believe that the Lord would have raised up somebody else. Because the Lord's work is going to be done. There's going to be ministers. There's going to be preaching. There's going to be souls saved. And that's our mission. That's what we want to do, and that's what we want to focus on. So please, if you have an opportunity, if somebody comes to you and they use that same old excuse, well, you know, I've just been too bad. I've been too mean. I've been too evil. Please share with them. No, you're exactly who Jesus Christ died for. There can be a change in their life, and there can be a remarkable change. I know that we have had speakers here at the church of people, young men, who were steeped in sin. I mean, just messed up in just about any and everything that could be. I know I'm not saying anything out of the way, but I know Brother Keith has given his testimony time and time again, and how he attributes the Lord Jesus Christ to making a transformation in his life. And he even said, I didn't even like who I used to be. I'm glad that the Lord made a change in my life. And I'm glad I'm not the person that I used to be. So it's not our goodness, it's not our merit, it's not our ability, but it's our ability to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And apply that precious shed blood to our life. May God bless you. We love you so much. We thank you for the wonderful weekend that we had. It was just a wonderful, wonderful time of fellowship. The food was great. We had a wonderful crowd. Thank God for that. And just thank God for each and every one of you. So let's be much in prayer as we go forth tonight. And I think what we might do tonight, I know that our kids are downstairs, but probably we got moms and grandparents here tonight. So why don't we just all come forward tonight and we'll stand and hold hands in unison and pray. And if you don't have any children or grandchildren in school, pray for those who do. And I saw something on Facebook. It said where Jesus had Jesus walking with the kids. And I believe that. And I get to give personal testimony because I believe it was the Spirit of the Lord. Many, many years ago when Kevin was left on the bus and they thought he was at home and he was not. He was on the bus. And they said under that special needs bus, they never let those windows down. When they went out there to check on him, the window in front of it, across the aisle, and the one behind him was down. And we believe that was the Spirit of the Lord, or he let angels do that. So I know and I believe that Jesus can let angels walk with our children and protect them. And if they ever needed protection, it's in the day and hour we live in. So y'all come and gather around. Drivers. Thank you. in this parable. Thank you, Lord. God bless you.
His name tonight, unless anybody else needs prayer. We just got a testimony this week on a text concerning a distant relative of ours who's in Texas and had been diagnosed with cancer, on chemotherapy for quite some time, and was growing worse from it. And she had decided that she was not going to take any chemo, and she was just going to trust the Lord. Well, the last time she went for a test, she got the results. The chemotherapy had done immaculate work, and the diagnosis had changed. Now they were going to try another miracle drug, because she wasn't a candidate for it before, because basically they were just trying to keep her alive. And that made me think of that, you know, and doctors were just, the chemotherapy is finally working. Well, could be, but God made it work. It wasn't working before, but she just decided, Lord, I'm just going to trust you. And amazingly, they've given her a pretty good outlook. She was really excited about that, and thankful everybody for the prayers and